Welcome, LGBTQ plus tribe. We have a lot of amazing artists around this table tonight, and we're super stoked to have all of you here. I know that we're all busy and we have lives, and taking like an hour and a half to just sit down and have a conversation kind of seems like, I know, right? You're like, I have to be somewhere after this. Is a lot to ask, and we're super grateful and thankful that you're all here. So why are we here? We are coming down off the high from BC Loud and Queer, and I have not just the organizer here, Monique Gonzalez, but also artists who performed at BC Loud and Queer yes. 2 weeks ago. And today we are just going to have a conversation about their art process, what inspires them, how their art has transformed along their journey, and how we can find them online and get connected with their art, and how we can just continue the conversation after this podcast.
Yay! Awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, so let's do our introductions. I'll start.
Okay. Awesome.
So my name is Crystal Silver Star, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. I identify as a cisgender woman with a queer sexuality, and I am super excited to be here today with this amazing tribe, and some of them you can't actually see. They're in the sidelines. But we'll get some recordings from their Genius Zones later that will also be on the podcast.
Awesome.
Hello, my name is Mo. I go by she, her, hers. I identify as a cisgender woman as well with a queer sexuality. I am the creator of Loud and Queer. And if anybody is watching us right now live, hello and thank you for coming if any of y'all went.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Leia. She, her, hers pronouns. I identify as a trans woman and I guess just lesbian would be my sexuality leaning. I guess I'm here because I'm kind of a mock community manager, and that's kind of my genius zone. And have a lot of different art expertises, so I can go more into that later. But hi.
Awesome. Thank you, Leia. My name is Audrey Ford.
Woo!
And my pronouns are she, her, and they, them. And I identify as a genderqueer person and pansexual, which is sometimes conflicting between bisexual and pansexual, as definitions between different people and communities seems to shift and change. So,
I'm Xavier Wallace. I am a trans man, FTM. I identify as I guess it'd be straight, queer, really, queer. I'm a poet, yoga teacher. Looking for healing in all the right places, I guess.
I love that.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Oh, God, okay. I'm Marielle. I use he, him pronouns, and I identify as a trans man.
I am Ulmri. I identify as he, him, his, and I'm just me.
Yay!
Awesome.
Hashtag just me.
I love that.
Nice.
Cool.
So, did you want to tell everyone? Well, we already told everyone why we're here today,
I guess we did. So, why don't we just jump in?
Yay!
And make it super fluid, like my gender.
Lord.
And let's talk about it. What is the first question that we have written
down? So the first one that we have is, share with us about your artistic expression. What medium do you use? So anyone, this is a free-for-all. Anyone can, share.
All right, so I'll start it off. mine is poetry. I'm a poet, and a lot of my work centers on just my truth, my identity, my experiences, awareness. I always try and just show it's a lot of empathy and vulnerability. just raising awareness on a lot of issues in society. So mine is spoken word.
Yeah. Can you also just tell everyone who's not familiar with BC Loud and Queer, you know, what it is, how you came up with the concept, mm-hmm. and, you know, where it's all began?
Sure. So last year I had the honor of helping organize a Transgender Day of Remembrance event. Vicenta Torres at that time was the program manager, and so he basically said, okay, this is going to be our third annual. This is your, it was my capstone project, and so he said, so this is it, and get some ideas and kind of just run with it. And spoken word was my thing, and so I came up with the idea of trans folks, gender variant individuals using their form of expression in a way of healing, just in a variety of ways. And so that centered on spoken word, musicians, singers, and songwriters. So after that, that was, I think, really the moment where I was like, okay, like, this was so beautiful, and I was like, and I want to do something bigger in our community. So that's where I was like, Loud and Queer. So I was just like brainstorming in my notebook, and I didn't really start to jump on it until January, when I went to my first Thrive get together, and Audrey was kind of just like, oh yeah, Mo has Loud and Queer coming up, right? And I was like, yeah, I do. So then I was kind of just like, all right, now I got to start on it. I was overwhelmed by the amounts of talent that touched that stage. We had over 20 performers. It was really just beautiful. And it was everything. You saw comedic performers, you saw musicians, singers, songwriters, poets, interpretive dance, really just kind of any type of art expression that you can think of. And so I didn't want to limit to just poetry, because I know that there are artists that express themselves in so many different ways. And so it was really just creating that platform where it was really just open to that. And yeah, so that happens. I'm still like talking June 30th, because I'm like, June 30th, Loud and Queer. So that happened. It was an amazing turnout, and it was a beautiful day. My heart is still full from it. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So anyone else like want to share what their particular artistic expression is, and, you know, what medium they use? And by the way, I don't know if you can see
our mascot Scully.
We have Scully, who will be on the recording and at the table, because
licking faces and
trying to steal food.
He wants to make sure that we introduce him. That is Scully. He goes by he, him, his.
He identifies as a black lab, right?
Black lab. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, right?
We got a bark of approval.
Good. I guess I'll go next. Only because also I wanted to say, like, VC Loud and Queer for me as an artist was like a super impactful moment, because I think meeting you, Mo, was the first time I thought, like, hey, I can actually, you know, shift my writing into spoken word after seeing you perform and after seeing Callie perform at the open mic nights before we got to VC Loud and Queer. And so my art, my expression has totally shifted to more, you know, performing my writing on a stage and being able to see you do that and even come into Rainbow Umbrella and show our youth, like, you know, all of, you know, just, I guess, like, how it's done.
Magic.
And, yeah, magic, for sure. That's what it felt like. The BC Loud and Queer literally felt like magic. And
it was magic. It was so amazing. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's awesome. Yeah. I think, you know, seeing the journey of Audrey and the journey of Kaden and Ariel, and just, it makes, I was like a proud mom that night.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Kaden perform so many times, and just every time I see him, it's just like, he just gets and he's amazing, but like every time they just like better and better, better, better. And so just being able to provide that space and hold that space, really anywhere, was really awesome. And I'm just really proud of everybody that came out, because I know, you know, it wasn't an easy thing to do, to really get up there. Some people are used to it and they'd get up there like no other, but, I knew that it was, you know, wasn't as easy for some people that went up there, and everybody did amazing. Yeah, and the group piece, if y'all saw it,
yes.
That group piece though
was incredible.
Incredible. Yeah. Everybody's was, but yeah.
I didn't honestly expect to get that angry, but...
I love it. You just, like, threw it. Was it you? I think you just, like, threw paper.
Yeah,
floor,
I was throwing
like,
my papers.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was magic because you literally somehow magically got my ass on stage to perform in public, so yeah.
So for anyone who's tuning in, let's talk a little bit about that group piece, I'm curious, and kind of what that was. A little brief on it.
What the group piece
was
like
about.
The premise?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the group piece?
Sure. I mean, I hope I'm not like speaking wrongly for anyone else in the piece, but I feel like it was a way of owning our past and also owning and celebrating our present and taking a lot of pain and a lot of shame and a lot of the difficulties we had growing up as trans and gender non-conforming people and just transforming it into a strength and into something that like we could like cast off, like deal with the pain and cast it off, but also deal with like and celebrate where we are now and like all that we've gone through, basically, I think is the
for
best
sure.
way to explain it.
I am more of a storyteller. My background was youth ministry, and so that's kind of where I gained, I guess, my storytelling, though I would... It was more like a witness talk at the time, and so...
Mm-hmm.
Again, with Mo, meeting Mo, she kind of introduced me to this whole different side, and I'm just kind of growing as a storyteller and sticking true to who I am and my truths. And before, I was just very self-conscious to kind of say what was on my mind.
Yeah.
Because I was just worried about offending people. Like, I didn't want to offend anyone. But then again, it's like, that's not being true to me and
right.
you know, my feelings and all that. So it's definitely like a learning process. And just, you know, those who want to listen are going to listen. And those who don't, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
just having that space in a town where, because I grew up here, I did my formative years in LA, and then I came here for middle school and high school, and always feeling like ostracized, left out, definitely not a lot of space for identities like mine. And just having that community and that space to share truth, and I like to touch on what you said about shame. And just, taking something that you were told to be ashamed of or to hide and having that be a source of power and connection. Mm-hmm. And, it just was a beautiful experience, and I was really grateful.
For sure.
So my medium would be, storytelling, writing. I write a lot of short stories and poetry. Definitely, I was into fitness. I had a motorcycle accident, and I was like out for about a year. I couldn't walk or feed myself or anything.
Oh wow.
And then I yoga is what helped me become basically a human again, self-sustaining again. And that journey to become one with my body, I decided to transition. A lot of decisions came from that. Decided to do that and write full-time. So just very grateful for the way now that I kind of see life, you get that second wind. And just learning how to turn my shame into a source of power instead of having it cripple me.
For sure.
And what was the other question?
And what does your art say about you?
I guess my art could say a myriad of things. It's really about the human experience, and I try to speak from the ones that I've experienced, because I feel like a lot of times we forget, even though these identities, we have experiences that are different from each other, they all are human experiences, and they all are real and valid, and just shedding that light on maybe some things in my life that people might, you know, like, oh yeah, yeah, that happened, but you're good. But it's like, no, you know, this is, becomes a part of you. All, every experience you have becomes a part of the way you see the world, the way you walk through the world. And just sharing that, those transitional experiences for me. So I think my art could say, yeah, I'm here, I'm human, still going, still healing. It's a forever process. So each story, each poem, every time I get on the mat, it's definitely just, it's all about the process.
I love that.
Thank you.
Can I also share what you talked about in the car?
Yeah.
About like, okay, so we picked up Xavier and you said something super important that was like, I feel like if you didn't participate or know about Loud and Queer, but like with Monique, that you wouldn't have even known that there was a community that existed in this county, or you didn't even know that like Thrive was even a thing, or
no idea
that the CRC was even a thing. And so when I hear that, I think of like all of the other, you know, people who don't know about what this space is. And so,
so
I think
hi.
I know,
hi.
Right?
Hi. Hi.
It exists.
We're here.
So,
it exists here. We're queer. Right?
Which is why, like, you know, when people do things like their passion, like, and they really do share their art and they put their voice out there, like what you were sharing too, Almarie, like when you put your voice out there, regardless of what people are gonna say, your tribe is gonna come to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your
right.
tribe
yes.
is gonna attract, you're gonna attract it. And I think that's
right.
like, you know, a manifestation of just the people who are on this table.
And I didn't even know Xavier was in the Camarillo, because I had
yes.
met Xavier in line in LA at the Poetry
yeah.
Lounge. It was for a poetry night.
Yeah.
And we just befriended each other. And and so
that's
I had
amazing.
No idea. And so I reached out to him about Loud and Queer. And he's like, yeah, I was like, I'll send you your address so I can mail
I'm
you
local.
All the stuff. And he's like, well, I'm in Camarillo. I was like, oh.
well,
and then
done.
I'm just like sending him all this stuff. Like,
like you're already on the set list.
Yeah.
Calendar. So it was really cool how it worked out that way.
It was awesome. Just being welcomed and accepted. I feel like support has been something that I've always felt was lacking in my life, and that now that I have become more acquainted with my truth and what I want to say as I walk through the world, that yeah, the vibrations are just attracting that family and that support for me. So the fact that, you know, I'm here and this exists is it's like all dreams, goals.
Goals.
One
of
us.
Wow.
Hashtag tribe.
What's the question?
So, you know, what does your art say about you?
I actually like had to think about that, because I don't know. I guess it's not something I just inherently think about. So, I guess like. The only way I could say it is, like, I guess my public face is I'm pretty, like, calm and collected. And then, of course, there are those that know me and how, like, energetic and spastic I can get about... Don't shake your head like you know everything already.
No, that's true.
But I feel like... But, of course, you know, while there's, like, you know, happy, spastic moments, there's also, like, ones of, like, sadness and anger where you just want to, like, lash out and destroy things. And I actually, now that I've been thinking about it, I think that's where a lot of my art has gone, especially within the last couple of years, has gone to whether being, like, extremely articulate pieces, like, just because that's what I like, or if I need to do something that's more emotional, it tends to be more... I don't want to say, like, edgy, but, like, off the beaten path and potentially could piss off or
right.
make people really sad, because it's like, well, that's that's how my brain is sometimes, and
right.
this is like the only healthy way to get it out without, you know, potentially hurting yourself or potentially hurting others. So mm-hmm. I think that's what art allows me to do, is to express the extreme emotions that I'm capable of feeling, whether that be happiness or anger, or and I think it just kind of flows from there. I mean, like, the past couple of pieces I use gunpowder, so I mean, you know, it doesn't get much more explosive than that, so.
There you go.
And yeah, just being all over the place, like, it could be, like, a painting 1 week, or, you know, industrial applications where saws and gunpowder and spray paint get used, like, you never know.
Okay. Hi. Where am I looking?
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Just general directions.
Just look at other people if it's more comfortable.
That's what I'm doing.
Over there. Over the rainbow.
Hi, I'm Kaden, and my pronouns are he, him, his, and if you don't know that I'm a poet, I don't know where you've been.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's right there.
Perfect.
So what does your art say about you, Kaden?
I think it kind of speaks for itself. I guess listening to what Ariel said, I was just thinking, like, feedback that I get sometimes is like, can you write a happy poem? Like, why are your poems so sad? And I'm like, I don't know, just sitting here listening to all of you talk and just thinking about my own work. The 30 minutes it takes to write, or like the five minutes it takes to perform, that might be sad, but that's like a small chunk of my life so that the rest of it can be lighter and happier. Mm-hmm. I've just had a lot of stuff throughout my life that has been difficult and challenging that I haven't had the chance to process, and poetry is how I do that. So
yeah, it's fucking cathartic. Get off my goddamn toes. Like, just because I don't like drink or watch soap operas doesn't mean like I don't deal with my pain. Like, damn.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes, like, exactly. Literally crying and yelling and screaming about it in art form is what it takes.
Or not art form.
Yeah. Or not art form, like, yeah, but
I'd like to get paid just to scream.
That'd be great.
I at times I feel like I'm a rarity, and I don't know why. I've had a different experience, you know, and for me it's just important that I share those experiences, the lessons that I've learned, and also the people that I've met, because everyone that comes into my life, there's a lesson there to be learned from people. And it's also very important for me to just be positive and loving to everyone, even if I'm not getting that back in return.
Yeah, let me see that.
And that's just, I don't know.
My art, my primary art form is through drawing. And a lot of that recently has been kind of all over the place. Sometimes I draw specific things, but a lot of times recently it's just kind of been all over the place with, like, abstract, very action-y symbols and stuff in it. So I guess that kind of just means that there's, about me, that means that there's a lot of change in my life recently, and everything's kind of been very shaky, not just with my transition, but with a lot of personal things as well. Mm-hmm. Not that this isn't personal, but
other personal things.
And also I have a lot of different art forms. Like, I write short stories sometimes, I write poems sometimes, I do, like, I DM for D&D groups, which I think is a great form of expression if anybody wants to try that, because it's super cathartic to be able to, like, create this NPC that's like this expression of some part of you, and like, you get to see your players murder him usually. But
yeah, if you ever want to find out you're trans, just play D&D.
Monster Hearts. Check out Monster Hearts.
What's D&D?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know.
In unison. In three.
I mean, just for like anybody who didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Not that. I didn't know.
I knew. Yeah. It's just D&D, of course.
So thank you for helping everyone.
Well, I've never played. I'd love to learn how to play. I've never played, but I want to. Is the thing, but it feels like it's so much.
It depends on what thing you're using. D&D itself is really complicated, so I would suggest other things first.
If you,
I mean, Discord for that.
I was trying to end it there. So. Yeah.
But. We're going to do some individual pieces if some of you are willing to do that.
Welcome back from the break. We have Caden Wilds here, a local poet who is going to share his poetry.
I experience light brighter, sound louder, everything more intensely than I would like sometimes. Even eating is difficult. The textures of tomatoes and red meat, the flavors of honeydew and cranberry juice make the words form a lump in my throat. All I had to do was tell the waiter what I wanted for dinner, but my tongue, frozen in my mouth, became too heavy to lift and stretch for syllables. My eyes looking at his hands, unmoving, and my hands ringing together, transformed into birds, preening. I remember my stepfather's deafening whisper into my mother's ear. People will think I'm sorry. I try not to let the noise suffocate me, but I just can't breathe. I feel the meltdown building in my stomach, my chest, my hands become birds again, fly to my ears, perch and nestle, trying to block out the sounds of screams that don't even know what they're fighting for anymore. And despite their best efforts, the birds could not protect me when my stepfather said I looked like a child covering my ears like that. Nowadays, when I tell people I'm autistic, they don't believe me. My autism is largely invisible because I was conditioned to act like I'm not. Look into people's eyes when they're speaking to you. Don't rock back and forth like that in public. Stop walking with your toes pointed inwards, and for God's sake, cage the birds. Cage those birds. Most people ask for an explanation as if they are entitled to it, and unless I distill my entire life experience into symptomology, they doubt me because they've never seen me act autistic, to which my response is, just because you haven't noticed something happening doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. If a tree falls in a forest and no one is around to hear it, does it still make a sound? And besides, the birds are still in their cages because I wasn't allowed to be anything except quiet, apologetic, accommodating, invisible. Being autistic was always out of the question. And maybe I say sorry so much because I was taught that I am a burden, so I'm sorry if I talk about it too much. But I saw this article on WebMD about researchers trying to find out if autism is detectable in utero. I know what that means. The article said it opens a whole range of possibilities if autism is detectable that early on, and I got sick to my stomach thinking of all the unborn autistic babies, how my own mother said she wouldn't have had me had she known. Ableism is when autism is... ableism is when autism is a death sentence. Ableism is when I say I'm sorry. When I say I'm autistic and people think I must fit cleanly into their preconceptions, I'm sorry that I don't. I'm sorry if this was unexpected. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, little birds, that you have been caged for so long. I think it's okay. I think it's safe to let you out so you can learn to fly and fly away.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That was so
Amazing.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Kaden,
can I just say that I really appreciate that because I also really struggle with that feeling, and I still haven't like unlearned that I have to like give a shit about what people think about how I'm behaving. So thank you for being able to talk about it, because there are, I think even like last night I was like, no, like I behaved a certain way because this is what everyone expects. So it's always nice and refreshing when you talk about it to remember that, yes, I don't have to act a certain way. I can just be.
And we're going to begin with the question, when did you begin to define yourself as an artist?
I feel like that's, it's so hard to answer. Like, it's just a tough question because I, for me, it took me a long time to even call myself a poet. Or just like, yeah, I'm a poet. I felt that. Like, I just, you know, because I wasn't at that time, like, because I wasn't performing, you know, because I wasn't doing poetry competition or slam competitions, or I didn't have a chapbook, or I didn't have, you know, all these things that these, you know, known poets were doing. I didn't identify myself as a poet. So, and it wasn't until when I had gone to the National Poetry Slam last year in Denver, Colorado, and in between the competitions, they have open mics, and so I participated in a lot of the open mics. And so the very first open mic that I did, it was an LGBTQ plus open mic, and it was my coming out story to my grandmother, and it was the very first time I had read it, and I never felt so just, it was just, it was, I was just in awe, just by everybody and the support. I touched a little bit on conversion therapy, and you know, in Colorado, it's still a state that still does conversion therapy, and so a lot of people were able, you know, to relate to that, and really just connecting with everybody in so many ways. And it was almost like I was not, I would say, seeking validation sometimes, and just for people saying like, yeah, you're like, you are good, like your writing is good. And I think for me, it kind of, it took that is what I needed for someone to say like, yeah, you should definitely keep writing and keep reading. Because I had a lot of insecurities and I didn't really, you know, share a lot of my work. So from there, that's when I came back home, and that's when I started, you know, going into LA and doing spoken word open mics, and I think that's when I was like, okay, like I'm a poet, and yeah. So, but it's definitely, I think still sometimes a lot of us can feel like our work isn't good enough, or you know, what kind of open mic is it, or you know, some people get really intimidated in certain spaces and they don't share their stuff there. Yeah, but yeah, it was a process for me to come to terms to say that about myself.
Thank you. I think just from a very young age, art was always like my thing, and I wanted to be an artist. But it started out with like drawing and the more visual art side of things. And throughout my life, it's kind of slowly faded away from the visual more to like, you know, poetry and writing in general. And it's weird because I went from saying I'm an artist as in a visual artist to saying I don't know what I am or what I want to be, but I knew that I liked writing. I think time frame is a little hard. I think maybe 2-ish years ago, I had been writing throughout high school and writing in college, and I had a very profound experience one semester in a creative writing class that it seemed like it just opened the box, like it all just started spilling out. and out and out and out and all. I couldn't stop was the thing, is like I couldn't stop writing. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, well now what? And so that was the next semester, it was the spring, and I entered into the Poetry Slam for the Diversity and Culture Festival at Ventura College, and I was still, like, it was so, I mean, not that it was bad, but it was very unrefined, I guess. Like, I, looking back as myself, criticizing my own art, like, I see, it was very unrefined, and, like, it was a very powerful experience to perform on stage for the first time, but I still didn't really feel like an artist, because it just felt like, oh, this is like, I'm gonna do this once and then I'm gonna get bored, because that's how everything else has always been for me. And I didn't place or anything, but then I think I had heard about the open mics at the library downtown through our Ventura's Poet Laureate, Phil Taggart. And I went, like, just kind of out of the blue, decided I wanted to go, and I did, and it happened to be a night that had more people than they ever have in that room, because it was someone's birthday, and there was huge, a lot of people, and I was like, before, you know, people started showing up, I had already signed up, and then I was like, oh god, there's a lot of people here. And my piece was about being trans, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this, but I just went for it. I read, I had a few people there that I was sort of getting close to, and I felt comforted knowing that I had that support. And then I read that piece, and I got a standing ovation. Everyone in the room stood up, and they were like clapping, and I was like kind of blown away. Like, I just went into shock almost, because it was like, oh, so this does mean something to people other than me. And just kind of since then, it's just stayed with me, I guess. And I still write, obviously, and it's still a big part of my life. And now it's like, it wasn't like any one moment, really, but like since that first open mic at the library, I've realized, like, I am a poet, I am an artist, and, like, this is something I want to be a part of my life. As long as, you know, the universe will allow that, and as long as that's what I want and what feels right for me.
Thank you so much.
I could say, I don't know how long I'm going to be about this, but I would say I never initially decided I was going to be an artist. My parents did. I would draw something and they would say, oh, this is amazing, and show it to everybody, and I didn't make it for them. I made it for myself, because I liked what I had in my head and I wanted to see it. And they would show it basically without my permission. Mm-hmm. And then they started expecting a lot from me in various areas, which is why I'm kind of a jack of all trades and master of none, because I've, you know, you're really good at this, you should explore this, okay, I'll try, and then I'm not the best at it, and then I try something else, and my parents get excited about it and say, you should explore this thing, and then I try to explore it, and then I'm not the best at that either, and so I just have done many different things, so I guess that's just kind of like, it's kind of been a stressor for me, because for a long time, because even now I'm living on my, well, not on my own, with my wife, and I still can feel this kind of pressure to be the best at this thing, to be better and better and better, and I can still kind of just, I need to learn to let that go. So I guess that is what I was kind of thinking about while listening to Caden. It's just like, other people wanted me to be an artist. So that's where it started.
Mm-hmm. It makes you feel better. The rest of the phrase is like, yeah, jack of all trades, master of none is better than a master of one. So take pride in being able to explore a bunch of different things.
Yeah,
that's real.
That is. That really is.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you so much for sharing that. Anyone else want to share? Like, wow, this is really beautiful. Your stories, seriously, like how you began that journey of defining yourself as an artist. Omri, did you want to share?
I never thought that I was talented at anything growing up. Like, I really love music and I really connect with music, but I don't play any instruments. I mean, I sing in a choir, no solos. I can draw some pretty good stick figures. And that's about it. So when it came to actually like sharing stuff, it wasn't until my youth ministry days that I got involved with doing skits and doing witness talks and then creating skits. And then I really got involved in creating videos to connect with the youth better. And I feel that I really, maybe my defining moment as an artist maybe was on May 9th of this year. I was a part of the VC Storytellers. And so I got to share my story to a bunch of random strangers.
That's what made it.
And it was perfect because it was the New Beginnings one.
Yeah, it was New Beginnings.
It was
and
a
I
theme.
Shared my, thanks to Mo again, out here, you know. I shared my story of my transition and my church life. You know, that was a big part of my life. And I feel that, again, like I'm a rarity within the community.
Because church.
Everyone that I've met, they just have this just negative, you know, image of religion. And for me, it was just total opposite, you know. And I and people were just like, are you out? And I'm just like, yeah. I wasn't hiding who I was in the church. And I was hanging out with these priests and bishops and archbishops and cardinals. And they just saw me for me. Mm. And they saw the love and the passion that I had for my faith, but also for the youth of my community. And so now, like, I'm transitioning into, like, this different part of my life and trying to figure out, not figure out, but just trying to share my story, you know.
Wow. Thank you. I don't think I started defining myself as an artist until, like, on a whim to fill up some credits in like my last year at Channel Islands, where I took like an intro art class. And I mean, I feel like with especially arts, it's hit or miss with whether that talent and skill gets cultivated solely based on your teacher. And I had this amazing teacher who also happened to be queer, which was like an extra plus. So she really helped cultivate it when I was really starting to finally be able to define myself, I guess, because I had come out to myself, at least, like within that last year at that college and going into that art. And I think she was really good at cultivating it. But I had done like all of this work and she's like, you're amazing, like, you know, this is great, like always try something, you know, and even if you hate it, like keep working on it. Like, I had a painting that I spent, god, I think almost probably 30 hours on, and I wanted to burn it so many times, and she's like, aren't you glad you did it? And I'm like, yeah. But I think, like, thinking back on it, I think what really sold it as like, oh, okay, yes, like this is art and like what I'm doing is art, is we had to do like a timeline progression piece. Like, that was the theme for this project, and some people did some funny stuff. Like one guy did like how people like try not to eat so many sweets, so they eat like a small bit and then they put it away and then they keep going back and keep eating small bites. Just like stuff like that. But I was thinking, like, I honestly thought about how I was expressing myself, and because like my gender was coming up so much, like in my mind I was like, I'll do one about how I present. So, and I thought I did it super cheaply, like I borrowed a camera, I had my mom take the pictures, like I didn't even know like what all the things on the camera did, and I dug out what little feminine clothing I still had left in my closet, and I did a timeline progression of, well, it didn't help that I had short hair either, but it would have been perfect if I had like a wig, but I didn't have that much time, which proves more of my point when I get to it. But I started like inside my house, and it was like I was walking out of my house onto like basically just out, like into the public, and I started in some really feminine clothing. Like, I still had my dress that I wore from high school graduation, and I started with that, and I started, like, really closed off and, like, looking down, and my clothing, like, slowly got more masculine. I had, like, a top and maybe, like, skinny jeans, and then it was like, oh, cargo shorts and, like, a band t-shirt, and then I finished off in a suit that I had bought myself for an interview, for an internship that I did, and my head was up, like, my chin was up, I had my sunglasses on, I felt, like, really confident, and I thought it was absolute crap. I'm like, this is so poorly made. I'm just walking out of my house. I just pulled this crap, like, out of my closet. Like, yeah, it'll work for the project, but, you know, it didn't feel like I had really done that much. But then one thing that my teacher always did was these art critiques, and by the whole class. So you would hang up your art in front of the class, and they would give you constructive feedback. And, of course, she wouldn't tolerate bad comments or anything. And just, it would basically just be like, what does this piece, like, make you think about, and how does it make you feel? And I put it up, and I was extremely self-conscious. This is the first kind of, like, gender art I had made that I, like, ever let out in the open and even had, like, the balls to really, like, do. And I had befriended a couple of people in class, and we always talked, and when we were working in class, we would work together and just be doing our own thing. And I remember my professor's face, because she always stands in the back and basically just, like, lets the students run it. But I kind of talked about it a bit, because some people were confused, of course. They're like, well, like, some people were like, well, are you saying you're a guy? And, like, what is this? And I explained, like, a little bit. Thank you, Scully, for the affirmation. I know that, yes. Now. But, yes. But, and so, like, I knew that I had gone over the heads of some people, but these two girls that I knew, like, totally straight, totally cis, like, probably didn't really know anyone in the LGBT community. And as they were talking about it, and as they, like, were talking about me and, like, how they knew me, they started bawling. They're like, your art is so beautiful. You're such a beautiful person. And, like, my professor's in the back just silently going, like, yeah! Like, you made people cry! And I think that's what kind of sealed it, is, wow. Like, I made something that I thought was crap, and I wasn't getting my message across, and I clearly got it across to people who have, like, no idea what it is and, like, wow, how to deal with it. And I think that's, like, kind of solidified that, like, it, even if I make something that's just, like, pleasing and not really, like, personal or about me, like, I do have that gravitas in my work, and I think that's right. What solidified it as, like, I'm an artist. So Aurora Valentine from CSUCI, I don't know if you'll ever see this. Well, you might, because we're friends, but yeah, it's your fault.
Nice.
Awesome.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Well, I love that story. because I had a huge barrier between how I define myself in the world, especially as an artist, because of, like, perfectionist mindset.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, we're all thinking, oh, it's not good enough, mm-hmm. or how could I make a living at this when it's just something I do for myself. But that's the thing, it's the content is from, like, a real and truthful place, and as fellow human beings, we can feel that.
Yeah.
We can see that. Mm-hmm. And just like letting down those walls of, like, perfectionism,
right,
is really where the art can thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and that's even sometimes when the most beautiful things come together, when we just, it's raw,
yeah,
it's just,
yes,
uncut, you,
yes,
know, and it's just boom, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, yeah, I think that's a little part of my story too, like,
mm-hmm.
All throughout my life, I guess I'm like a closeted extrovert.
Yeah.
And my mom was always like, yeah, you're gonna be an artist for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my dad, he's an engineer, so he wasn't really big on, like, doing this, your own thing, being an art, he's very practical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's kind of like, you gotta take this beaten path, this is what works for me, this is what worked for my parents, how are you going to get ahead when you're just kind of dabbling in all these things?
My dad's an architect.
Yeah.
Practical art engineering.
Practical arts engineering.
So, there definitely was that voice in the back of my mind, and definitely outside pressures from society too, and thinking like, okay, even being like a black person in the world, like how I don't want to be a starving artist. I didn't want to live I didn't want to struggle any more than I had already had to. So it was like, okay, I gotta go into business, I gotta do these things, and I was really ignoring like a huge part of myself and just kind of keeping it to myself, like these are the things I like to do and here it's just for me. And then once I started to share it, and then there were those reactions, and then it was like, this is important, and this is fulfilling, and then I feel like that's when I just drew the line and I was like, you know what, this is just what I need to do. I mean, for my own sanity, and I think definitely for the betterment of the world. I mean, like, we need more art.
For sure.
Engineers are important as well. For sure.
You do need engineers.
But if that, I feel like, don't crunch yourself into any, you don't have to crunch yourself into any box. An artist is just that, someone who just puts out whatever they want, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but it creates connection, and shares the truth. Sure. So So I guess my defining moment was probably when I wrote. I was always really good in English class. I like to write, so a teacher was like, this is what you need to do. And I needed that outside validation for sure, because I was kind of like, I'm just going to throw this report together, you know, it's last minute, I procrastinated, almost got a zero, like begged my way to like, please let me just turn it in like a month late, please. And then they were like, fine, you know, we don't want you to fail. And he's like, why did you wait to turn this in? This is great, this is like, you know, one of the best papers I've had in a long time. And just kind of getting that outside affirmation really did. And I was like, you know what, I think this is something that I want to do. So
it's funny, this reminds me of, I was in like sixth grade, I think, and I was in this art class, and I was working on this really complicated piece. And at one point, the art teacher asked if he could use my artwork as an example for the class, and, you know, in front of the class. And I was like, I felt so proud. And I was like, and, you know, and so he brings my artwork up, and I'm so proud of this, right? And I'd worked really hard, and it was really kind of this complex piece. And he holds up he's like, this is everything you're not supposed to do. And he went through and tracked the whole piece. I was sixth grade,
Soul crusher.
Maybe I was seventh grade. Like, probably like seventh grade. And he's just telling like the class how, like, he's using mine as an example of how to get everything wrong, right?
Whoa.
And I remember that as a defining moment in my life of like, I'm not gonna do art. And I took that at the end of class and, you know, threw it in the trash can on my way out. And we had, I remember we had clay that we did later on in the year, and I made this really big black mug with all these spikes coming off of it. It was just like, it was, it was just, I was pissed for the rest of it.
Didn't you do that last week after I?
Just getting it all out still. But, you know, it took a lot of years, and then I went to college, and I did go back into an art class and revisit it again, but it can destroy or it can create what the teacher says. So if you are a teacher, and if you're my art teacher,
you're watching this.
If you, you know, a teacher or even any of us, even if you're just an audience member, you know, how you respond to a performer or to any kind of creator or artist.
Especially,
you know,
children, for the love of God.
Yeah. But we all have the inner child, just like everyone here said, you were all an adult, and that inner child just needed to be validated and seen, just like I was expecting, you know, back in seventh grade. I really thought, like, oh, look at me, and he was like, no. And yeah. So it was, you know, it's so beautiful to hear all these stories where you were affirmed for who and what you are and what you created. And like I said, when I got older and, you know, when I was an adult, you know, and had more confidence in myself, I went back and did create art that, you know, I was proud of. So, so that was, you know, so it's all good. I'm not scarred for life or anything like that. But this kind of is my piece of artistry, to come and create this kind of group assembly and to facilitate. That's my playground of artistry. And so thank you all for sharing. Yes. And we're going to stop this segment and then go into the next question.
I do have one more thing.
One more thing.
You're talking about the whole inner child thing is like, yeah, everyone's inner child with like all of our art is like, we just want to put it on the fridge. Fuck the gallery. We just want it to be worthy of the kitchen fridge.
That's super important. Just creating something out of thin air. If it didn't exist before and now it exists solely because of you,
right.
And ingenuity, that's art.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, not everybody's going to buy that one shade of paint, but it's there. You know what
For
I
sure.
mean? It exists. So,
sure.
like, I
Someone might not even it. Know they want that shade of paint.
Until
you put it there.
Yeah, and then you're like,
exactly.
Oh, look at this blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's the commission fallacy.
Okay, well, that was amazing. Thank you, everyone. And let's see if anyone else wants to share an original piece for our next segment. That'd be awesome.
Welcome back. We have another poem for you all. We have Monique Gonzalez here, who is going to read her piece. Does it have a title?
No title. Pulse.
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 Monique is going to read Pulse.
It's usually after tragic events like Pulse where I'm reminded by my grandmother that I shouldn't flaunt myself in spaces like that or else bad things can happen. That they all should have just stayed home. I wonder sometimes what this world would be like if we all flaunted the parts of us that society rejects and survived. If maybe staying home means being in a country, your body, where your house, your body isn't knocked down by bullets. And they wonder why we protest, why we write in defiance in hopes to dismantle oppression, in hopes that someone will listen and rethink the way they use their privilege or don't. The way they look at dark skin like it's a shade they are afraid to look up to. The way they look at queer like it's a flame they don't want to touch, afraid they will somehow burn too. It's usually after tragic events like Pulse where I'm reminded that I should flaunt my resistance in spaces, even if it means bad things will happen. Even if it means my home, my body, being knocked down by bullets.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you. So yeah, so that was my most recent piece. And of course, you know, when Pulse came about, and it was very hard. I'm still expanding on it, and it's hard to read it and not break down, but I think it's important that we still talk about, you know, these events and we don't just, you know, hashtag it, you know, when that date comes, that it's just, it's more than that, and yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So our next poet, we have Xavier, who is going to be reading his poem. Do you have a title?
Kind of. Fire and ice.
Fire and ice. All right, Xavier, take it away.
I haven't read this one aloud yet. It's I touched on my accident, so it's about that.
Okay.
There are numerous ways to disassociate the head from the body. To splinter skull into offering plate. Severance and dislocation. The fate of blades. The fear of bone exposed, each edge decorated in hot wet apology. These asphalt rivers red with sorrow, or sorry, or my blood. And the day of my accident, my body was the blade. A sword with two throats, head bones still atop, still a flame now connected. These strange hands flipping filth from my folds, folding flaps of my skin, they gift me a slumber, a painkiller's dream. I wake and remember the fire. Strange hands tithe me down, hook me up, machines claim I am safe. I watch a bag of lullaby injectables collect in vain, taste the metallic memory of its harmony. My mouth now, the dry copper pipes. Rejection rises from the gut, my sick rust blasting, basting the floor. I can still hear the nurses cleaning and counting the pennies. I can still see my family praying and eating bedside, pressing ice chips to my teeth. All the while I scream for the hands and the fire to stop.
So we also have Ariel here, who is going to read his piece.
An excerpt
of his piece that he read at VC Loud and Queer.
Woo-hoo. Take it away. Unfortunately, might not have the same anger and exuberance that it had at the performance, but hopefully the point still gets across. And it's from the second half. So, now I know what path lies ahead of me, a trail that has remained untrodden, the coordinates coursing through my veins to the beat of my heart. Along this journey, I can now finally call mine. My limbs bend and move, my own rules of this game of adventure. I am no longer lost on the shifting sea of pronouns and identity. My voyage is set, and I can finally see the port that I will call home. And no one can change these rules. This malevolent game is now mine, and I will come out victorious. Are you a boy or a girl? I am a boy. I am a boy. I am a boy. I finally know where I am. I know where I stand. I am found.
And eventually the video will be up on YouTube from Loud and Queer once all that's squared away. And yeah, so for anybody who was not there and who would like to see it, we will be having that up soon. So yeah, we'll announce that and keep an eye out for sure.
Awesome.
Cool. How are we on time? How long does the podcast go? I'm sorry.
As long as we are talking and having a conversation. But I just wanted to make sure, did anybody else want to read?
Do you read? I feel like you haven't said
too much. You haven't talked a lot.
Well, I was giving and holding space for you all because you all are sharing a lot of stuff.
Care and expression.
Yes, that's very true. This is you too.
All right, fine. Well, I might have prepared something. I might have dug something up from the grave. So, although I hide in the crevices and cracks of my soul to protect me from a world that told me I will never break free from the bondage that enslaves us all, I stand here on borrowed land that has been stolen and taken back again. With all of my flaws, telling you my story with each breath I take in, never letting you see the pain I've experienced. And as I overanalyze the thoughts in my head, I stumble over the words to tell you who I am. It's not my age, who I sleep with, what gender I am. It's the complexities that make up the stardust in these veins and the scars on my heart from festering wounds that have taken what seems a lifetime to heal. My reflexes keep me at a distance. It's not you, it's me and what I've experienced. I take one step forward into the flames, never looking back. What's done is done. The contract has been signed. My pain is now my purpose. I step out of the flames, rising at last. I spread my wings and feel my muscles contract. The wind wakes up my soul from a slumber so deep I don't even recognize the person in the mirror staring back at me. I leap off of the ledge with complete trust I will catch the wind and soar like I always was meant to. Don't be afraid, you're only asleep as long as you want to. If you listen to the lies that keep you in your prison, you will never learn to think of a way to break free and show the world the gifts you bring to your altar. Understand who you are and why you're here, and the walls will crumble like Babylon, and out of the dust you choose to rebuild what is important. You deserve all the royalty, power, respect, and nobility. Stand in all of your glory and choose life today, when yesterday is just a memory, and tomorrow is a dream always fading more and more from your grasp. Don't worry, reach out and take what is yours. Step onto your throne and into your power and call it home.
Woo! Yeah. After I heard that, I was like, what? Oh my gosh, Audrey.
It's
amazing.
And that's what inspired, I know there was a question somewhere that we asked before about like, how do we get started? And I think for me, that was where, and I know that there's a question coming that talks about like where, how our art has changed. And for me, being able to write and talk about my own experience on a stage with other people and to connect with other people who have gone through similar experiences and meeting amazing people like you all who are sitting here because of sharing that art. That was a defining moment for me as an artist who shared my truth and shared my authenticity and shared in a way that I, as an artist, that I've never shared before. Mm-hmm. Because my art has always been about creating for others. Mm-hmm. And my art was always about how I can market and design for a brand. And so it was always for someone else and it was never about me. Mm-hmm. And that was the defining moment for me, was when I switched that lens of, I'm not creating something for someone else, and it doesn't have to look pretty and it doesn't have to be perfect, which is what I love what you shared, Xavier, about that perfection stigma. And I love what you shared, Kaden, about how that sometimes we feel like when we're starting an art process or we're starting a new medium, that we feel like, is this just going to be, am I going to paint on a canvas, or I'm going to do this thing once and then for, you know, then I'm just going to like, you know, leave it behind and it's going to collect dust in my closet for the next 6 months or something. And I felt like I did that a lot as an art major that that kind of dropped out of college. But, you know, I did that a lot where I was, you know, I went through these art classes and I would get inspired and I would listen to, you know, my professors and my teachers and, but I just never felt like, I was always creating for a class, or I was always creating for this project, or I was creating to learn, and I would just never stop to create for myself. And I think that's where my, not just like my journey as a person and just understanding who I am, that's really shifted when I started creating for myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, but it's just super rude.
Just off and off. Awesome. It's, you know, we've been recording for about 2 hours, so that's amazing.
And
I would love to play some Cards Against Humanity with all of you. So I would love to just wrap up here. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely a topic that feels really amazing, and maybe we can come together again and share.
For sure.
And also just come together again, like, and, you know, break bread together. So
yes.
You know, you are welcome in
and
my home.
Gluten-free bread.
Gluten-free bread, or, yeah.
Gluten-free.
Just some hummus and you know, carrots.
Vegetarian. So,
yeah. Okay. So just at the end, I would like to share with people how they can find you.
Yes.
Like, what social media platforms are you on? And we will actually share those links when we post the podcast. But for the people who are watching right now, can you also let them know where to find you? Beginning with you, Mo.
Okay, so you can find me on my my personal account is at Yank Love. With two E's, so A, N as in Nancy, K L O V E E. We also have the VC Loud and Queer Instagram as well on Facebook. So VC Loud and Queer, so you can spell that out, Andy. That's about it.
Awesome.
Cool. I have a Facebook for my photography that's collecting dust. but if you want to like it, that's always welcome. I think it's just Kaden Wild Arts, and my last name, well, actually, my first name has a lot of variations. Okay, K-A-I-D-E-N, last name W-I-L-D-E, and then I think it's just Arts. Don't quote me, it's collecting dust. I don't know. But I'm much more active on Instagram. I have my art one, which is Wildflowers, and it's not spelled, it's spelled WILDEFLOWURS. So that's like my professional Instagram, and then I have a personal one, but it's mostly pictures of me and my partner being obnoxious. But that's so
shout cute. Out to Stephanie.
Yeah. Stephanie. So, and that's Flaflugram. So FLAF. Wait. Oh my god, wait. Flaf. FLAFLOOGRAM. It's not a real word. So I'm like, how do I spell that? Okay.
Thank you.
That's it.
You can find me, Leia, at twitch.tv/thefantasticleia. I stream video games and do nerdy crap and talk about philosophy a lot of the time.
Ooh.
And, that's the major place you'll find me. I also have a Twitter, twitch.tv, or whoops, I'm saying the same thing. twitter.com/JUSOMAGNA, Juso Magna. I post there when I go live, or just sometimes some really awesome feminist quotes or something like that. Just follow me in the places, and I rarely use Facebook, so don't worry about that. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you, Leia. You can follow me, Audrey, on Instagram at Audrey Victoria. That's AUDREY. And Victoria, VIKTORIA.
Oh my gosh.
And I also have a Facebook, again, Audrey Victoria. And you can also catch me on the Thrive LGBTQ plus Facebook page or on our Instagram at Thrive LGBTQ.
Xavier here. You can catch me on Instagram. Twitter. I have a Twitter and a Snapchat, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, all of them are the same. It's TrueZave, so at TrueZave, TRUXAV. And then I have a new yogi Instagram that I'm going to be curating. It's Yogi Zave. So YOGI. XAB.
I'm gonna go follow that
So for me, Ariel, my Facebook is private and only personal stuff, so there will be no art there. But when I eventually get over my Luddite tendencies, I will be posting way more of my art and the progress of that, as well as other fun adventures I'm okay with sharing with the world, and that's on Instagram at Vox in the Box, because that's my nickname. So that's the one public platform that I am okay with people following me on. But I'm sorry, unfortunately, if I do not know you and you find me on Facebook, I'm probably not going to talk to you. I'm sorry. I'm usually a very private person, so. Yeah.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at just Almary, and JUSTALMARY. Did I spell that right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
I love that.
Yes, just Almary.
And
just me.
Crystal Silver Star is my Instagram personal profile, and then sharing with Audrey, we share at Thrive LGBTQ. And then I also have at Queer Parent Tribe for those of us who are parents and define ourselves as LGBTQ. And I'm trying right now to get parents of queer youth, but I guess saying queer youth on Instagram is like a no-no or something like that. So for parents who have children who identify as LGBTQ+, so we'll figure that out. They sent me an email that you have to take a picture of this email, like with the date on it. And like, okay, so that hasn't been done yet. Anyway, so, but basically, you can also find me on Facebook. I'm active there too, Crystal Silver Star, and all the other things. Thrive on Facebook though is Thrive LGBTQ plus, and yes, Twitter just feeds off of Facebook, to be perfectly honest, so I will not be there. And and you can find us, please find us on Discord. Please come join us.
The Discord link is in the comment section if you're either watching on Facebook, or it'll be on the description place on the Anchor app, and it's in the description or the comment box on our Instagram Live.
Yeah, we have some really great conversations about meditation and lipstick and you know, and pretty much, you know, like, and there's like hormone therapy going on for a while. You know, like there's all sorts of, you know, conversations that span the whole entire spectrum of life. So that's us. Thank you so much for joining all of us, and thank you Facebook Live and everyone who watched. And we love you, and goodness, let's play some Cards Against Humanity. Woohoo!
Stay cool.
Yeah.
It's hot as hell.
Is it?